Today God will be speaking to you. And He will be opening your eyes. You've just prayed and you asked Him to give you spiritual wisdom and revelation. And I believe that He has heard that prayer. So this morning as we go into the Word, you will have revelation. Thank God. I say thank you, Father, that today I will have revelation. Revelation that will transform my life and move me forward. Desire and prayer. Say, Father, I want to move forward. But I want you to understand that if all your prayer is to move forward physically, you are making a big mistake. Yeah? Because things are first happen in the spiritual before they manifest in the physical. So what you need most is not physical blessing. What you need most is spiritual blessing. Because that spiritual blessing naturally will overflow into physical blessing. So today pray to God and say, Father, grant me spiritual blessing through your word and your spirit that we overflow into blessing in every aspect of my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, because you are with us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are operating in our midst. Your power is flowing. The anointing is moving. Even as the word of God we go for today, thank you for healing. There's healing. Sore throats are disappearing. Cold and flu allergies are flying away. Oppression is gone. Depression is broken. Bondages are being split apart. I say where doors have been locked because of the word of God that is going for today, those doors of progress, those doors of breakthrough and advancement are becoming open. Grace, abundant grace is being released upon lives today as the word of God goes forth. Because the Bible says He sent His word and He healed them and He delivered them from their destructions. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' name, we are prayed. And it just said again, please turn to somebody beside you and give them a smile from your heart. Hallelujah. A God bless you smile. Hallelujah. You know, I don't want to hate anybody. There are things I don't like. Yeah, but there's no room for hatred in my heart. Hallelujah. Because the love of God has been shared abroad. Even someone who is nasty. You know what Jesus said? He said, love your enemies. Say to yourself, make that confession. Say, I love. You know, many times we make the mistake, you're praying to God and say, God, please help me to love my enemies. Yeah? Commanded you. That means it's possible. So you just claim it. You claim it. It's not only breakthrough you claim. Yeah? Part of the breakthrough is loving your enemies. Say, Father, thank you. Because I love my enemies. It happens first in the spirit. Now, when you are saying that, your mind may not like it. Your flesh may not like it, but you are a spirit. You are a talking spirit. So, Father, I say, Father, I thank you because I love my enemies. That doesn't mean I like what they do, but I love them. And if I'm in a position to bless them, I will bless them. Not because of them, don't misunderstand it, but because of Him. Hallelujah. It's because of Him. Hallelujah. Because when I love my enemies, my whole life moves forward. If someone is trying to destroy me, yeah, and I love them, whatever they do against me, it falls back on them. Because the devil has nothing in me. It's a blessed position to be when the devil has nothing in you. No bitterness, no malice, no unforgiveness, no anger, no wrath. You are just free. You are just free. Happy is that person that has a free spirit. Hallelujah. Then power can flow. Hallelujah. When your spirit is free, you can hear better from God. When your spirit is free, power flows into your life. Things that are impossible, they just become possible. Because you are on God's frequency. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So why am I burdening myself? Has God gone on leave? He said He will repay. So don't worry. Don't try to take vengeance. I know the flesh wants to. But that's why you need to open your mouth as a talking spirit and say, I love my enemy. It's not because of them. It's because of Him. Hallelujah. Let's make that confession again. Say, I love my enemies. And God is working everything out for my good. See, someone has maltreated you before, someone has treated you wrongly. God will sort them. Because he said, it's mine, I will repay. So in fact, actually, if you are feeling very bad, the way you pray about it, say, Father, thank you because vengeance is yours. You will repay. I trust you. And so I let go. Hallelujah. Happy is that person who is free. When the devil asks, Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to go into the word of God. Last week we looked at Holy Spirit power, and today is part two of the Holy Spirit power. And what we'll be showing today is how to practically live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're sharing this in Home Fellowship on Friday. You know, someone said, so one of our members who came, you know, grew up in an Anglican church like I did. Yeah, I said that before, yeah. And this is a Pentecostal church. I'm like, you know, but she doesn't understand this, you know, speaking in tongues business. You know, she doesn't feel comfortable. I said, I understand you. I come from your background. But I said, the reason why I could not remain is not because there's anything majorly wrong. It's because I don't want to live a powerless life. Hallelujah. I don't want to live it. I don't know about you. I don't want just to be serving God and say, yes, we must do this, we must do that, we must praise God. All my life is what I must do for God. Hallelujah. I want to live a life where the word of God is real, can change situations, influence situations. I want to live a life where my Christianity is not just about what I am doing, but what I am living. Hallelujah. If we say God is powerful, that power has got to manifest in my daily life. Hallelujah. Until that happens, I've not experienced the word. So, I don't know about you. But I want to take everything that God has to offer me. Hallelujah. I think it's very foolish to say to God that, you know, God, I'm okay. Imagine God is trying to give you something big. You say, oh God, don't worry. You think you're being conservative? Yeah? Say, I'm okay. What you have given me is okay. I don't ask for anything more. That's foolishness. Amen? Because before God wanted to give you, he knew that you needed it. Hallelujah? Everything God has to offer already. Hallelujah? And you should be. So I'm preaching now, is I want to stimulate that hunger. You must be ready for everything that God has to offer you. Because there are some things that God is offering you today that you think you don't need, but they are the link to the breakthrough you want. Hello? Are you listening to that? There are some things that God wants to do in your life today you think is useless to you. But that thing that you think you really want, until you take this one that God wants to give you, you will not get there. Hallelujah? Let's go to Acts 2. Holy Spirit power. Acts chapter 2. We did this last week, so now we're going to read verse 1 to 4. Again, Acts 2, 1 to 4. Okay, so we would like to read now. Yes, let's start with the youth. Let me look at. Yes, Agnes, you're there. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4.
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Let's follow that bit, because I know you read it before, but you might have missed something. So I'm not talking to you, Agnes. I'm talking to the whole body. Yeah. So, and they were what?
All filled.
So that tells me that you need to be filled with the Spirit. It's not enough to have the Holy Spirit in you. And by way of reminder, you do not have the Holy Spirit in you if you are not born again. You do not have the Holy Spirit in you because you prayed or because you went to church. No. The reason why you have the Holy Spirit is because Jesus Christ rose again and you believed him. In fact, I was going to say something. It is not even accepting Jesus as Savior that makes you born again. Because before Jesus died, the disciples already accepted him as their Messiah. Yeah? That's not what saved you. It's accepting Jesus as Lord. Hallelujah. He said, if you shall believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus. Romans 9. And confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead. It is the Lordship of Jesus, when you accept the Lordship of Jesus, that gives you that supernatural transformation inside. Because the Lordship of Jesus changes your heart. Are you with me? Yeah? If you there are people in the world that just accept that Jesus is a good man, he's a good teacher, he's one of the greatest people that ever lived, that's not what we're talking about. That's religion. And yet they may talk it. It's just religion. But when you accept that Jesus is Lord and you make him your Lord, something happens inside. You are changed. You see, because when you make that decision, the Spirit of the living God comes to live inside of you. And then you are born of the Spirit, which is you are born again. Hallelujah. Only the Spirit of God can make you born. But that cannot happen if you have not accepted that Jesus is the center of it all. Amen? Say, Jesus is the center of my life. You know, it's got to be true. Otherwise, you don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you receive the Holy Spirit like that, that's stage one. Yeah? What happens is that you have the indwelling presence. You need that. You need the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our helper. He's our strengthener. He's our advocate. Hallelujah. That's presence. He lives within you when you are born again. But you need more than presence. We start to stun someone. Tell them, say, you need more than presence. You know, I can come to your house and just sit on your living room couch. Very nice one. Cross my leg. I'm present, isn't it? But that doesn't necessarily mean the job will get done. Hello? If I'm not in full oppression, the job may not get done. Maybe living in that house, but all the jobs are not getting done. But I'm there. Hallelujah. Now, when you are filled with the Spirit, you come under the influence of the operation of the Spirit. Another way to say it is that the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I'm just in before we move forward. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Let's have another youth read now. Let's move to the other side. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So all of this we shared last week, but I just need to refresh it before we move forward. Acts 1:8. Please read.
But you will receive.
You will receive
power.
Please say that again.
But you will receive power.
One more time.
But you will receive power.
How will you receive power?
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You see, that's different. Yeah? And firstly, it comes to live within you. Yeah? Now, and it came to live within them before this time. But now, it is to come where? Upon them. They will receive what? Power. Why? Because you need power. Hallelujah. You cannot fight spiritual battles with physical ability. They don't match. Amen? You can't even fight spiritual battles with experience. Because I told you, the devil is more experienced than you. Hello, are you listening to that? The devil was there before you were born. Your great, 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 great gun. Hallelujah. He was there before Adam was made. He has more experience. He's seen different ways that people behave. So that style you want to use to catch him, he knows it. So experience is not what you use to defeat the devil. What do you need? Power. You will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Amen. Let's stop there. That's fine with me. Okay? So, they were all filled and they began to speak in tongues or unknown tongues. Unknown tongues means a tongue you have not learned or a tongue you don't understand. It may be a tongue of men. Some other person may understand it. You may be speaking in tongues, you don't understand it, but it may be Chinese. Or it may be tongues of angels. 1 Corinthians 13 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of the tongue of angels. But it's unknown to you because you don't understand it and you didn't learn it. It's coming straight from your spirit. Where is it coming from? Because who are you? A spirit. If you don't believe, I remember that God is what? A spirit. And those who worship him, how do they worship him? In spirit. You could not worship God if you were not a spirit. In fact, another place the Bible says he's the father of spirits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go to Romans 8. And I'll ask you my question. That will open up your heart. Romans chapter 8. And we're looking at verse 26 to verse 28. I just need to unpack that. Then we'll come back to 1 Corinthians 14. Okay? Are you there, Sean? Want to read? Romans 8, 26. Today I'm using all the first. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Okay, please follow in your Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 28.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes the intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
28.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. Okay, let's ask you one question now. And just be practical. Just be, you know, speak from your heart. What do you think is the greatest weakness of the believer? Or, let's say it this way. As a believer, a true believer, what do you think is your greatest weakness? Something you have to contend with in this life as a weakness. Or let me ask another way. If you don't want to make it personal, in your observation of believers and Christians, yeah, of all times, what do you think is their most common weakness? Yes, let's have some answers. Starting from the youth first. Yes, Richie?
The other people deceiving you.
The other people deceiving you. Yes, that's a weakness. I agree. Yes.
Lack of zeal for fervent prayer.
Lack of zeal for fervent prayer. Yeah, so, there are different types of prayer. Okay. Yes.
Flesh.
The flesh. Eh? You know the flesh. did you put your hand?
Yeah.
Yes. What do you think is the greatest weakness of a Christian or believers in general?
Not knowing the mind of God.
Not knowing the mind of God. Okay, those are all good answers. I like all of them. Yes?
Walking by sight.
Walking by sight, rather than walking by faith. Yeah, it's easier to just, you know, if I can see you, I believe you're there. Yeah? If I can't see you, why should I believe that you're there? Yes?
Doubt.
Doubt, yes, because, you know, like... Yes?
Ability to forgive.
Yes, ability to forgive can be a weakness. And there are a lot of Christians dealing with that issue. There are. And I know there are Christians who they fast, they pray, but they can't forgive. And there are people who open their mouth and actually confess that. You know what? That person, I can't forgive them. Change it. Change the question. Yes? You can sit down. It's okay.
Not hearing from God.
Not hearing from God. That a bit aligns it. What you say, which like not knowing the mind of God, but in a different way. You know, not hearing. That's, yes, that's a weakness. All these things are weaknesses. I agree. Yes. Did you put up your hand? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. You are able. Yes. What do you think is the greatest weakness of a believer? Or what are the weaknesses or the common weaknesses of believers?
Living a complacent life, being ineffective.
Being complacent, or you can say lukewarmness. Yeah, hot today, cold tomorrow. I know people like that in this church. They are hot and cold. Oh, no, no. They are neither hot nor what? I'm not talking about you, don't worry. You know, as a pastor, you are permitted to know so many things. There are even some things that God has told me about people, but I don't tell them because it's not the right time. Yeah? And some things they don't need to know. So God will just tell me that I will use it to pray. There are some things that God has told me about my wife that I have not told her because she didn't need to know. The information was for me. Okay, I'm not keeping any secrets. I'm just saying what God has said. This is not about what I thought or what, you know. So please pardon me. Yeah? Yes? What is it? Keeping malice, like unforgiveness. Yeah, although they can be a bit different, isn't it? So I'm forgiving you, but I'm just not going to talk to you. Just stay in that corner. Yeah.
I think for me, the main one is being judgmental. It's many Christians oftentimes tend to, like, when they view other people's maybe attitudes and they just say, oh, are you sure he's a Christian? Are you sure she's a Christian? But at the end of it, you don't really know the relationship with God.
Yeah.
So it's not in your place to judge, but okay. Most times Christians do that.
Yeah, okay. So would you prefer a world where nobody had any opinion, no laws, no guidelines, free for all, everybody do what you want, nobody can judge you for anything? If you like, just do whatever you like. Is it like that? Let me give you another opportunity to speak on that.
Not on the extreme. Well, not from that perspective. My point, I suppose, was really on sometimes, instead of looking inwards, looking at ourselves, we rather concentrate on
yes. The other person. And yeah, and that very much aligns with the scripture, you know, that there is a log in your eye. We are trying to help someone else remove the speck. Okay? But you see, I can share another scripture, but the Bible says that we should judge all things and we should hold fast to that which is good. Another place says, examine yourself, whether you're in the faith. Someone says something like, if you go into a restaurant, hopefully not in the UK, okay, maybe in America, okay, but actually, hopefully you are not there, okay, and you know, someone walk past and you can see in their back pocket a gun, you better judge and find your level. Don't say, oh, I don't know his intention. You know, like, I can't judge his motive. The gun may just be there for play. You better judge and find your level before, you know, you become a victim. But what we are saying is that, you know, the word judge here in Bible, you know, actually, the right translation is condemning. Condemnation. And you put people under condemnation. Or another way to say it, to agree with what you said is, when you think you are better than others, self-righteousness, yeah, is a wrong judgment. Hallelujah. You know, it makes you like an hypocrite. You know, because usually you will not see the fault in your life. Yeah? It's the fault in another person's life. And actually the pathway to change is to start changing. So if you're in the relationship, whether it's family relationship, whether it's marital relationship or work relationship, and there's a problem with behavior, look inwards first. You know, see what you can change in you. Because you can become the change that you want. Amen? Many people don't change from criticism. They change from being loved and seeing a right model. You know, when you love people and you show them the example, then they are inspired to change. But anybody who feels unloved does not have the inspiration to change. If it's this way, it's a bad child, it's a bad child. After a while, they say, okay, everybody knows I'm a bad child anyway, so I can as well just do another bad thing. Amen? That's why God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I say, the love and the model. Hallelujah. Yes, let's take one last answer.
Well, I I think one of the things that are so bad is complaining and murmuring.
Okay, yes.
It makes the hand of God to be weakened.
Amen. That's a good one. Let me just touch on that before we move into the main message. Hallelujah. Nobody ever moves the kingdom of God forward through complaining and murmuring. In fact, usually it's the people not doing what God has called them to do who will complain and murmur. They will see everything wrong in what the pastor did. Everything wrong with what the choir did. They are not there. Amen? So actually, when you find yourself complaining and murmuring, it's a proof that you are not in action. Amen? Now, when you get into action, you will find less time for complaining and murmuring. You have to be the change that you want. Say to yourself, say, I have to be the change that I desire. It must start from you. Hallelujah. So now, let's go back to the question. What is the greatest weakness of a believer? You know, like, I'm not trying to teach you opinion. I just want to teach you the word. So let's go to Romans 8:26. Did they go open my eyes to the scripture? You know, I just like marveled. I say, amazing. Romans 8:26. So all the answers are right. They are all weaknesses. But I believe that the Spirit has revealed to us in the word the greatest weakness. And before I had a revelation, but this morning, God topped it up. I told you the revelation of God's word is never static. As you walk with God, He will show you more and more. And when you stop walking with God, you begin to have less and less. Romans 8:26. Yes, let's have it read again from another version. An adult now. Romans 8:26. Is there, let me see, are you there? Romans 8:26. Who is ready? Yes. Romans 8:26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses.
So listen now. So he's telling us that the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. The first thing I want to understand from there is that although I'm a Christian, I have what?
Weaknesses.
And that's why I need the help of who? If I want to do it in my power, I will struggle. And I will fumble. Yeah? Because your power is not enough. Hallelujah. You need the fruit of the Spirit. And you need the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, he now begins to explain to us what the weakness is. Yes, go on.
For we do not know.
Now, I had another revelation before, but today God showed me that one. The primary weakness of a believer is ignorance. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6. He said, My people are what? Destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. You can be a believer, but what you don't know cannot give you the breakthrough you need in that area. Hallelujah. Sometimes you know it, but you don't have the revelation of it, so you can't walk in it. Hallelujah. You can't walk in it. And all you're doing is you're walking in the sense realm. You're calculating how it's done. You know, if I do this, if I go to see this person, do this, this, how the person did it and did it, and all these are physical solutions. I told you, there's room for physical solutions. For example, I'm saying it now, just make it clear. I don't have any problem with anybody seeing the doctor or using medicine. This God is not the devil. Do you think devil is so kind? The devil is so kind, he'll give you medicine that can cure you. No. Yeah? It's still God that revealed this knowledge. Are you with me? But there is a physical healing. And there's what? A supernatural healing. You have access to supernatural healing. But if you're not going to do anything to develop your faith, all you do is watch TV. You don't read your Bible. You don't listen to sermon. You don't meditate on the word of God. You don't pray. The day you need your faith is not being gear. It's like a car you refuse to service. It must let you down. Are you with me? So if that's the lifestyle you chosen, then immediately you have a problem. Go to the doctor so that you don't die. Hallelujah. Because you're not investing in the spiritual. You can't just one day dust your Bible and say, yes, today is the day that faith must come out. Hallelujah. Because Joshua 1:8 says that, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In fact, that's another revelation. He didn't even say from your head. Where does it, if you want to live by faith, Where must the word of God be? In your mouth. Of course, it can't be on your mouth if you didn't heard before. But it's in your mouth. So your mouth is a good proof whether you are living by faith. The things you say, the confessions you make, check yourself. Just check the things you say. We will know quickly whether you are living by faith or you are living by sight. Now, he said you must meditate on it. How? I have memorized that 9. But when did God open my eyes? He said, day and what? Every day. Day and night. Day and night. That word must come out. If I'm trying to throw the word of God against my situation, day and night. Don't worry about any other person. Take it personal. Day and night. Take that word that applies to your situation. If it's healing, day and night, speak it to your situation. And I find that there is no exclusion in the situation. I don't want to go into details for time. Anything you want the word of God to do in your life, find what God has said about you as a believer. Take it day and night. Speak it in your life. You are allowed to speak it in private. After a while, when the word has conceived in you, you will start speaking it publicly without shame. Because now is that you are pregnant with it. Hallelujah. You know, we say that seeing is believing. But we don't say that. It's the word that says that. And as Christians, we say no. Believing is what? Seeing. But that's one level of revelation. Because another level of revelation is that actually it's true. Seeing is believing. Until you see your breakthrough, yeah, as a revelation in your spirit, you will not believe it fully. Hello? Are you with me? When you meditate on the word of God and what you are believing for, you are now able to see it in your spirit. It's yours. It may take time, but it's yours. Nothing can take it from you. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to do. We need to stay in the word. Meditate on the word. Confess the word until you see it. I mean, there are breakthroughs I've had. You know, I was contending with something. The symptoms were there, but at a stage, I just knew that it's settled. Now, symptoms are still there, but as far as I'm delivered, alright, because I've got the revelation inside my spirit, I'm pregnant with it. It was just a matter of time for it to deliver. In fact, from those moments, I don't pray about it anymore. Let's give thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the primary weakness of a believer is that we don't know. But tell us, there's not a secondary weakness. You know, there's primary school, and there's what? Which one is most important? You know, sometimes you think secondary school is more important. It's not. It's primary school. Secondary school builds on primary school. Hallelujah. Even from the meaning of the word, secondary means is second. Hallelujah. So that's the primary weakness. We don't know. And how do we know? Let's just address that weakness. How do we know? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The more the word of God comes into your life, whether by your study or by teaching, your faith will rise. Don't waste your time praying that God should increase your faith. Because it's not the only time happened in the Bible, the Lord increase our faith. Did he increase it? No, he said if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. I know somebody then starts singing, faith as small as a mustard seed, you move mountain, move mountain. That's not the revelation in that scripture. The key there is not the small. The small is just a description. The key word there is the seed. The seed. The seed is small. But when you plant it, and when you water it, and you tend it, what will it become? It grows. And it becomes the biggest tree. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how I solve my primary weakness. Amen? And that's why fellowship is important. In the place of fellowship, you not only hear the word of God, you share the word of God. You become more established in the word. Somebody comes to you and tells you that, oh sister, why are you suffering with that? Have you not heard You know what the Bible says? And see my life, I applied it well. So faith rises. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, continue please. So, for we do not know, but what don't we know in this case? Secondary weakness.
What? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought.
The secondary weakness of the believer is their prayer life. Hallelujah. If you don't, if you want to be very weak as a Christian, you want to be what? Super weak. Don't pray. You know, Jesus prayed. I know you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, yeah? But Jesus prayed. Sometimes all night. And sometimes he will go early in the morning and pray. Hallelujah. Yeah? But you see, the reason why you don't pray, we understand it. It's because the flesh, somebody said flesh. Who said flesh today? Yeah, brother, God bless you. Because, okay. The reason why you don't pray as you ought to. I'm not saying you don't pray at all. I know that you're in danger. You say, Jesus, do something now. And it's still prayer. Amen? Don't worry, I'm just being me, Jerry. You pray, I know. I know you pray. I know, for example, maybe before you eat, you just say, hey, thank you, oh Lord. Bless this food, oh Lord, for Christ's sake. Amen. Who was eating the food? You or Christ? Hallelujah. Yeah? You pray. That's what the Bible said. It said we don't know how to pray as we ought. Now, let me explain that statement. It means that if I pray as I ought, my prayers will be effective. So my success rate will be 80%, 85%, 90%. I don't want to be on 50%. Because 50% could be luck. You may just be lucky. You know, people who don't believe God can get lucky. Yeah? There are people who play national lottery. I hope you are not one of them.
Let me tell you about lottery. I'm not judging.
Now, when I say that, I'm not saying she plays. I mean to talk about judging. You have the liberty to play natural lottery. But the problem is that when you play natural lottery, you start putting your faith in what natural lottery can do for you. Then it becomes idolatry. Because God is bigger than the natural lottery. It is Philippians 4, verse 19 that says, my God shall supply all your needs. That's bigger than natural lottery. That's where my faith should be. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, there where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Are you with me? You see, if I pursue money, but I don't use money to honor God, my heart will be in the money, and the devil can get me. Are you with me? But when I use my money to honor God, my heart is redirected to God with force. Anything in life can become an idol. What is idolatry or an idol? Anything that distracts your love and attention away from God is an idol. It doesn't matter whether it's a good thing. Are you with me? If my desire for anything in this life is greater than my desire for God, it's an idol. We need to be careful. Even the things I really want can become an idol. Oh, I want my son to go to a good school. Can become idolatry. Oh, I really need to have a child. It can become idolatry. I must not love anything in this world more than God. Now, any other thing I love should be under God. So that thing cannot oppress me because I have something greater. Hallelujah. I have something what? Greater. My God shall supply all your needs. So I don't put my faith in natural. I put my faith in God. Say my faith is in God. He will see me through. He will take me over. So we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's the secondary problem. Primary problem, we are ignorant. That also affects the secondary problem. So the Holy Spirit comes in to help us in our weaknesses. And you know that if the Holy Spirit is going to help in your weaknesses, he needs to first address the primary and the secondary. Hello, are you listening to me? You know, after you finish school, all those extra trainings you do, they are not compulsory. Yeah? Yeah? But they are important. But if you don't solve the primary problem, you can't solve the secondary problem. And if you don't solve the secondary problem, you can't solve the tertiary problem. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us in our weaknesses. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All the time. I'm looking to round up in 10 minutes. See, for me, what bothers me is that I don't want to, for example, like now I know that I need to pray. But imagine me spending 2 hours praying every day. But 1 hour and 55 minutes of that prayer is waste of time. Because I'm not praying as I ought. So I've wasted what? My time. I may feel religious. Don't misunderstand emotion. You may feel good. Say, I prayed 2 hours today. Ah, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. No result. Amen. The proof that your prayer life is effective is that there are results. Hallelujah. When your prayer life is effective, there will be what? Result. So what? Thank God. Say thank God. The Holy Spirit has been sent to help me in my weaknesses. Amen. Now let's just go to 1 Corinthians 14 and finish there. 1 Corinthians 14. No, before 1 Corinthians 14, go back to Acts 2. Somebody read verse 4. Another person. Acts 2, 4. Where's my mic there? Acts 2, 4. Let's read again. Because, you know, I like to ask questions. I really like to. That's why I like teaching more than preaching. A preacher proclaims. A teacher explains. A preacher what? Proclaims. For example, if I want to go and evangelize, I don't need to teach. You know why? People are not born again. They are spiritually dead. You don't teach them. Amen? You proclaim. And that gospel has the power to bring them to life. You proclaim that Jesus is Lord. You proclaim that God can set them free from their bondage, from their sickness, from their disease, you know, from their miserable life. And then miracle happens and they get saved. Amen? For believers, they need more teaching so that they can grow. Hallelujah? So Acts 2:4. Who was going to read now? Acts 2:4. Yes. Fitchy has not read today. Acts 2:4. Okay. We're rounding up gradually within 10 minutes. Acts 2:4. Please read again.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Now, this was the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Listen to this very well. Then, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then what happened?
And began to speak.
They began to speak what?
In other tongues.
In other tongues. How? How? You've not finished? How? As the Spirit enabled them. New Living says, as the Spirit gave them this ability. Speaking in tongues is an ability. But it's not a physical ability. It's a spiritual ability that God has provided for the New Testament believer. You will not find it in Old Testament. Amen? Hallelujah? In fact, we're saying this in terms of spiritual gifts. The only gift you will not find in the Old Testament that you have in the New is speaking in tongues. Every other gift happened in the Old Testament. And check it. Yeah? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracle. They happen in the Old Testament. Yeah? Elijah, they raised people from the dead. Are you with me? But none of them spoke in tongues because that's a benefit of the Holy Spirit coming down to live within you and to be upon you. That means there is special blessing in what? Speaking in tongues. Let me explain before we go to 1 Corinthians 14. So as I began to think, I'm asking myself, why is it that when the disciples, you know, were filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues? So I know you may read and just, for me, it bothers me that, why was it important? Couldn't they have just been filled and then everybody just go home? And next moment they work miracle, then we know they are filled. Why is it that they spoke? And all through Acts, you check them. You know, when Paul went to the Ephesians, laid hands on them, they spoke in tongues. Yeah? Why? What is in these tongues? Are you with me? You should ask yourself that question, because if you don't, you never understand what's going on. The spirit helps us in our infirmity, because we don't know. I understand that my primary weakness now is I don't know how to pray as I ought. That's why my prayers are not effective. Yeah? So I need the help of the Spirit. And how does He help me? He makes intercessions with groanings, which cannot be what? Uttered. But that's not the full translation. If you go back, New Testament was written in Greek. Let's give you a more elaborate translation. It makes intercessions with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate language. So like basically, you can't be uttered in like, oh, hello, Tola, how are you? Oh, God, I need it. No, no. It's uttered now in babbles and stammerings and whatever. Are you with me? Yeah, because it's not your human language. It's beyond you. And that's how it helps you to pray as you ought. But let's break it down in 1 Corinthians 14 and we finish there. And what I would like to encourage you is that if you want to enter into a greater dimension of the power of God, if you have been filled with the Spirit in speaking tongues, I encourage you every day of your life, 30 minutes minimum. I will say, but Pastor, I'm too busy. Anybody here too busy? Come on, be practical. Yeah? So I want to ask you a question. Do you still eat? Do you still go to the bathroom and have a shower? Glory, doctor, I know you're busy, but you have a shower. Do you drive a car? Yeah? Or use the train? Yeah? Now, I'm going somewhere. Don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that you can. The beauty of praying in tongues is your mind has nothing to do with it. You can pray in tongues multiple times over. For like 2009 to 18 now, 10 years, I've driven to and fro to Guildford University. Okay? Where I do 1 or 2 days now. Driving, tongues, back. I'm still driving. It doesn't stop you from driving. It doesn't need your mind. Hallelujah. So 30 minutes, passing is back. I mean, not every day. Some days I may not feel like I just sing. But consistently. Yeah? You can speak in tongues when you're in the shower. You can pray in tongues when you're in the kitchen. Whether cooking or washing dishes. I know it's like you prefer to be on the phone. I know. There's room for that occasionally, but that should not be the most thing you do. Amen? That's the beauty, that you don't need the mind to pray, so you can pray more effectively. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 14 now, let's just look at that and we finish there. 1 Corinthians 14. Now I want to show you something. I want to tell you a big reason why Christians speak in tongues, or they pray in tongues for only 5 minutes. Hello? They pray in tongues for what? How long? 5 minutes. That's what they do every day, 5 minutes. They speak in tongues, 5 minutes. Then they are tired. 1 Corinthians 14, are you there? Let's read verse 14. Verse 14, first. Yes? Verse 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. Okay. You don't have it? Okay. Is it like your Bible doesn't have it? 1 Corinthians 14, 14.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue.
For if I pray in an unknown tongue, yes.
My spirit prayeth.
My spirit
prayeth.
Is praying. Yes?
But my understanding is unfruitful.
Amen. That's good news. Hello? Because the reason why you don't know how to pray as you ought is that your understanding is always getting in the way. Sometimes you want to believe God for something, you understand, say, ah, don't be, you know, leave that one. Amen? Sometimes your understanding can be distracted. We are in a prayer meeting, your mind is in Scotland. Yeah? The mind is part of the flesh that is weak. Do you know that? The flesh is not just the meat here. The mind, that's why you need to renew your mind with the word of God. Because it's part of the flesh. Because your mind is constantly being influenced by what people say, what people did, what you heard on the news, what you read in the magazine, what you read in the book, what happened to your great grandparents, and all those things have a play in your mind. Are you with me? That's why we need to renew our minds with the word. Amen. Don't pray and say, God, renew my mind. That's not in the Bible. It's your job. You renew your mind with the word of God. And that also happens when you're in church. That's why it's important to be in church. Just by being in church alone, something is happening to your mind. Amen?
Just by being there, you are seated there, you are listening to the word of God, your mind is changing. Hallelujah. Your mind is being strengthened. It's not every time you need physical therapy. There's something called spiritual therapy. Hallelujah. But he said, just when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. Now, let me ask you a question. Imagine that you are God. Yeah? Now you hear a prayer from a body. You hear a prayer from a mind. And you hear a prayer from a spirit. Which one will you answer? Hello? The body can just say, I'm tired. I don't want to go to prayer meeting. God, please help me not to go. That's the voice of the body. Feelings. We got to answer that prayer. That will not help you. The mind may just say, oh, that person, what he did to me. You know? Let's not even talk about forgiveness. Let's even try to process the issue. Yeah? Yeah? I've heard people who said, you know, unbelievers, maybe I hope believers don't say it. They say, oh, that what that person did, let him burn in the hottest part of hell. If you understand the love of God, you will not wish. Yeah? You know, most times, people will say that they are already on their way to hell too. They don't know because they think they are good, but they rejected Jesus. Yeah? They rejected Jesus. But they think a criminal is the one that needs to go to hell. The greatest sin is to deny the God who made you. Amen? Are you with me? So a prayer from your mind can be corrupted. But the prayer from your spirit, when you are really praying, the real spiritual prayer is what? Spiritual. It's from your spirit. Amen? Now your mind can cooperate with your spirit. That's good. If your mind is perfectly renewed with the word of God, you can pray effectively with your mind. But even with a renewed mind, before you know it, if you are really burdened or you're in a trauma, your mind fails you. You know, I mean, you're burdened, you're emotional. You know, your mind is renewed, but at that moment it's weak. Because you can't undo what you're going through. You're sad. Sadness is a bad thing. You know, you can't pray. You know, we're having discussion, you know, my sister was like, you know why, you know what, maybe people who can't sleep, let them just pray. When they pray, they will feel sleepy. It's true. If you pray, you know, like normally if you pray for Lord, you feel sleepy. But people who are sad, they don't feel like praying. They can't sleep, but they can't pray because sadness is a bad thing. But that's where the help of the Spirit comes in. Because when you pray in an unknown tongue, your understanding is what? Unfruitful. But that's again the real reason why you should pray in tongues. And it's also the reason why people don't pray in tongues. Because they want to be in control. But let me share this and we'll stop there. I want to tell you a secret. I shared this on Monday. Monday I had a counseling session with one of our members. She told me it was not planned, it was emergency. She was coming and I knew that it was a situation whereby, you know, spiritual gifts needed to operate. Because what is your brain? You can give someone the wrong advice and destroy their life. Yeah? So I just took time. I did all my work. I just went in. 30 minutes, just prayed in tongues. When I finished, my spirit was clear. I knew exactly what was going on and what to do. So my mind now is back in gear. But it has been empowered by the spirit. Are you with me? Now, when I start praying, when I pray in tongues for a while, that's how I like to pray. When I start my quiet time, I worship or I sing, then I pray in tongues. That's how I do my 1 hour. Then, my mind is clear now. I cannot start having conversation with God. You know, God, I want you to bless Sister Yemisi. You know, and do this and do that. Just conversation like father to son. I'm in gear. I just pray simply. I say, God, you have to. No. I'm in gear now. Hello, are you with me? I'm in gear. And some things I pray for, the Lord will then show me what to let go. I want to. God has changed my mind many times. He has the right to change your mind. Because He knows what is better for you. Sometimes you are praying about something, you pray to God, you just speak to you gently and say, you know what? I mean, there's thing God showed me and say, you know, this thing you are worrying about, I can give you the money to pay for it. Hallelujah. I'm praying that God take it away. Say, no, I can give you the money to pray for it. Where the money will come, I don't know. But he said so, I believed. End of story. Prayer is answered.
and living to see that answer. Are you with me? So the mind is not enough. You need to take hold of the help of the Spirit. But 5 minutes will not be enough. And I'm telling you, you can pray in tongues anywhere you are. Yeah, if you're in the train, just pray gently, you know, like under the, just, amen. Car is a good place to pray in tongues. Because you can shout maximum, nobody will hear you. Amen. Hallelujah. Cut down some phone time and pray in tongues. You will see word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment of spirit. Because speaking in tongues is the official door into the spiritual gift. That's why it's the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. And Paul said in verse 18, he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you. Oh, that's why he was able to do more than them. Oh, Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. Let's stop there. Let's rise up and pray.